Good work, James. I won't make you play piano for 17 minutes again today. Was it really? Was it 23? Yeah.
You would go back and figure that out.
You did well. Is that why you got sick? It was exhausting? He did blame me for making him sick last night. I don't think it's my fault. Okay. I'm going to give you a rundown on what's going to happen here for the next 2 weeks. You will not hear from me next week or the following week because...
Yeah.
I noticed we had a different drummer today. We can get you out of here. I'm just kidding. I've got a friend of mine is coming here next week to preach. He's a pastor. He's not pastoring right now. He is attempting to raise funds to send himself and his family through some missions agency to Berlin, Germany. So he's going to come here next week and explain that, explain how I got into that and sort of cast a vision for that. And the following week, Steve Bowling's not here today, but he is going to preach Mark chapter 10 regarding divorce. We did the podcast the other day and we sort of talked about Mark chapter 10, and I lovingly looked over at Steve and said, Steve, would you like to preach Mark chapter 10 regarding divorce here in a few weeks? And he said, I sure would. And I said, that would be fantastic. So that's what's going to happen. There is a blood drive tomorrow at the YMCA in Burlington. And our bulletin board stuff is gone, but there are about 21 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 people that signed up to give blood. And I know that's probably the closest opportunity, but I think there's another one coming up. So if you're, and I shared that on the Facebook page, the details of that one. If you are interested in giving blood tomorrow, there is a blood drive at the YMCA from like 9 to 1 and then from like 2 to 5, I think. So there's that. Our men's group, we finished our Titus 10 study this morning, and moving forward, we are going to read 5 chapters of the Bible each week and answer questions based on those 5 chapters. If you are interested, if you're a man, and you are interested in joining that class, my phone number is in that bulletin. If you're interested, just shoot me a text or call me. We'll start that next week, and I will hash out the details with you. I will say that the men that have joined that group, we are committed to be there the majority of the time. We try not to miss it, so this is sort of a challenge to you. Don't sign up and show up 50% of the time. If you're going to sign up, please show up. So if you're interested in that sort of commitment, please shoot me a text or call or find me here. I'm here often. So this morning we are going to take a break from the book of Mark, and Steve Bowling will get us back on track here in a few weeks, and I will continue on after he does. Like I said, we have a guest coming next week. The following week, Steve is going to preach. Today, I'm going to deliver a message about baptism and the significance of baptism. We have a baptism scheduled today as Tracy looks back there. Okay, Sunday school talk. How'd the class go this morning? That's good. Good. So we have a baptism today, and I want to touch on the importance of baptism. I was baptized in January of 2017. I still remember that day well. The water was very hot, and I often wonder if the water temperature was a symbol of the eternal heat that the Lord was saving me from. If hell is hotter than that baptismal water on that January day, I was glad I would never feel that kind of heat again. I remember I stepped in that baptismal, and I thought, that's just going to melt my skin off. The next time I got into that water was to baptize my son, Sims, and the water was much more comfortable that day. He probably hadn't sinned as much as me up to that point. When I was saved, I didn't fully understand the significance of baptism. The guy that led me to Christ, I've told you my testimony 100 times, but he led me to Christ. He found me, you know, he found me at a sort of spiritual low point. Not sort of a spiritual low point. I was at ground level. I mean, I was spiritually bankrupt. And this guy just kind of poured into me and led me to Christ. And he asked me one day, he said, "Are you ready to be baptized?" And I said, "I don't know. I have no idea. You tell me. You know, I don't know. Am I?" And he said, "Well, do you believe that Jesus came to this earth and died for your sins?" And I said, "Yeah." "And do you believe that the Holy Spirit," you know, he pointed me to Scripture all throughout this process. "Do you believe that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you?" "Yes. I mean, based on what I'm reading, yes. Based on what's happening in my life, yes." And he said, "Well, then be baptized." And I said, "Good enough for me." And the next Sunday, they heated that water to 211 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 1 degree less than boiling, and I got in there. Okay? I am a Baptist. We are Baptist. The church is called Bellevue Baptist Church. There are two ordinances in the Baptist church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism is important to a Baptist. Baptism is important to a Baptist because baptism is one of our first steps of obedience and following Jesus with our life. Baptism is a spiritual milestone. Your wedding day is a milestone in your relationship with your spouse. It is a day to remember. It was a day to remember. We got to see a wedding here last night. Weddings are a great celebration. Baptism is a greater celebration. Baptism is our outward declaration that we are united with Jesus. But baptism does not equal salvation. Baptism is a symbol of our salvation. Now, one thing that I want to charge us to do today when this baptism happens, and maybe there's more than one baptism that's going to end up happening today, I don't know. But when this baptism happens, let's celebrate louder than we've ever celebrated. You can stand up, you can cheer, you can clap, you can make as much noise as you want, okay? Maybe we make so much noise that the feedback squalls like Zach had over there. Feel free to make as much celebratory noise as possible. Okay, baptism, I like to relate baptism to a wedding ring, if I can get it off my fat finger. With my wedding ring on my left hand, people know that I'm married and I have a suntan line on, so even without mine, you can see that I'm married. When I take it off, I am still married, but people might not realize it. Baptism is a symbol that we are united with Christ. And if we are saved, we should want people to know it. We don't want to keep our salvation a quiet secret. We want to celebrate our salvation. Now, husbands, when you go out into public, do you take off your wedding ring to hide that you are married? I sure hope not. I don't want to have to end up preaching about church discipline in here and how we can't be doing all that. Jesus wants us to celebrate our relationship with Him. We should celebrate baptism with great excitement. Though we are not saved by baptism, baptism is very significant. Now, what does baptism signify? I have a slide for you to look at with a couple points, 5 points, I think. There you go. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Baptism is a picture of new life. Baptism is a picture of obedience. It's a picture of forgiveness. And baptism is a picture of identification with Christ. Let's start with point number one. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, we read, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." The good news that is the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect and blameless life. He suffered a death on the cross. He was buried in a tomb for 3 days, and He rose from the dead and ascended into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And salvation comes by believing in this message of the gospel, and our baptism is a symbol that we are dying to ourselves and living for Jesus. And because of our sin, we deserve the death that Jesus suffered on the cross, but He chose to suffer for us. That is good news, is it not? Our baptism is an outward expression of our salvation. Jesus loves us, and being baptized is showing other people that we are choosing to live in union with Christ. Point number two, baptism is a picture of new life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." When a believer is baptized, we get a picture that their sinful past is being put to death. The believer is a new creation. And here's the confusing part. Will he still sin? Yes, unfortunately he will. But his sin has been forgiven, and he is now walking with the one who made the payment for his forgiveness. Baptism is a picture of obedience. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, says that, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So not only does Scripture tell us to be baptized, Jesus also tells us to go and baptize. In Matthew chapter 28, which is probably my favorite, one of my favorite passages in all Scripture, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Why do I like this? Because it gives us a mission for our life. We don't need to sit around and think, what's the purpose of my life? Here is the purpose. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you to do." So not only does Jesus tell us to go and baptize, I'm getting too ahead of myself. Jesus himself was baptized. But Jesus, the Bible is clear about baptism. Once we're saved, we're to be baptized as an outward expression of our inward faith. And then he says, after that, go and do the same for all the world. Go to all the world and baptize disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, he tells us to go and baptize, and he himself was baptized. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John." That's John the Baptist. We read about him in chapter 1 of Mark. "To be baptized by him, John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Sorry. So Jesus gives us the example. He was baptized himself by John the Baptist. And of course, John said, "I'm not worthy of this. You're the one. You should be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "I want to set this example for you all to follow." If baptism is a picture of obedience to Jesus, what does it mean if we have been avoiding being baptized? It means that we have been disobedient to what Jesus has told us to do and what he's shown us to do, and this is not good. Now, what I'm going to say next might require some steel-toe boots because it might hurt your toes if you've been avoiding baptism. Baptism truly is an initial step of obedience to the Lord, and it is followed by church membership. If we're neglecting baptism, we are telling the Lord, "I love you, Lord, but I don't want to do what you tell me to do." And I personally have been there, okay? If we're neglecting church membership, but we are here every Sunday to worship, we are telling the church, "I love you, church family, but I don't want to be held accountable to what the Lord tells me to do, and I don't want to fully participate in the glory and worship of the Lord," okay? It might be a hard thing to hear, but it's just true. Jesus has laid these things out here for us to follow obediently, and then we celebrate it. That's what I'm trying to encourage us to celebrate loudly when this happens, because it's one of the greatest celebrations of our life. Jesus tells us certain things to do and not to do, and we all understand that we shall not kill, but for some reason we complicate other things in Scripture, like baptism. It's all obedience, okay? I understand some of the apprehension. We think to ourselves, "What will my family think about my decision to be baptized? What will my children think?" Well, it shouldn't matter to us what our families think, what our children think. It should matter what God thinks. We might think, "I've lived a certain way my whole life. How could I and why should I change now?" Again, baptism is a command and an honor and a privilege given to us by the God that we serve. Baptism can be a humbling and maybe even a somewhat frightening experience. And if anybody's listening to that podcast that we're doing, Faith Jameson said this the other day. She said, "I just was nervous to get up in front of the church." I mean, hashtag me too, okay? I don't like getting up here either. It's scary. I have to look at you all, and I'm the only one up here, and there's a lot of faces looking back at me, and I don't like that. And I realize that hashtag is not related to this. I shouldn't have said that. Don't look into hashtag me too. Sorry. But baptism can be a humbling and maybe a frightening experience, but obedience to the act of baptism is evidence that a person's conversion is authentic. Jesus desires authentic faith from us. He did not create church to be a playground for us to come hang out with our friends. He created the church to honor and glorify himself. And the only way we can honor and glorify him is to listen to what he tells us to do and to do it. Jesus declared that if we truly love him, we will keep his commandments. And John wrote it in chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Baptism is a picture of forgiveness. Who in here needs to be forgiven or has forgiven or feels blessed that they've been forgiven by God? I do. Baptism is a picture of forgiveness. When a person is baptized, they are admitting that they believe what Jesus said and did is totally true. Jesus came to save sinners like you and like me. How was this achieved? He lived a sinless life and was put to death for our sake, our sake. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. So our baptism glorifies God because we are thanking him for what he has done for us and showing others that we understand that our sins have been forgiven and that we have been made clean. So part of baptism is that you are admitting, I am sinful. Now, that's a humbling thing. I am a sinful person. And I need help. And Jesus offers not only help, but he offers salvation. Baptism is a picture of forgiveness. Baptism is a picture of identification with Christ. True believers belong to Christ. True believers identify with Christ. True believers stand with Christ. True believers represent Christ and love Christ and live for Christ. True believers are faithful to Christ and are obedient to Christ. Now, by being baptized, you are telling Jesus and everyone watching that you are willing to fully submit your life to Jesus, which is pleasing to him. When we step into the water, sometimes the very hot water, of believers' baptism, we are saying to Jesus and everyone else that is a witness, "I am now a follower of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. From here on out, I will be obedient to him who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, some of you might be thinking, I was baptized when I was 10, but it wasn't my decision, okay? This is sort of a complicated thing, but also it's not all that complicated. I'm sure there's at least one person in this room having that thought right now. I was baptized when I was a little kid, but it really wasn't my decision, and I don't feel that it was genuine. Now, there could be differing opinions in this room regarding this, but my opinion is this. If you feel like your baptism at whatever point in your life was for any reason other than your own personal proclamation of your love, submission, and obedience to Jesus, then by all means, get rebaptized. There's water in the bucket, okay? If you feel like the Holy Spirit is telling you to get baptized, then do it. If you have felt convicted in the past that your baptism was for any reason other than the reasons that I've outlined today, then get baptized today, or we can schedule another time for that. But we don't need to get rebaptized every year because of our spiritual highs and lows. Everyone has these spiritual highs and lows. Don't think when you're on the mountaintop that you need to get baptized again, because you don't, okay? We all have highs and lows. Rebaptism is only appropriate if your original baptism was to appease a reason other than your love for Christ and your own personal public proclamation of faith. Now, I'll put it in hillbilly terms that we can all understand. If you were baptized when you were 10 years old because grandma and daddy wanted you to be saved, and you never followed Jesus until 6 months ago or 5 minutes ago or right now, then by all means, let's repent and be baptized today. And then after we get baptized, we can join this church. Or if you're a visitor, join whatever church is your local Bible-believing church. And we can all follow Jesus together. There are a couple other superficial reasons we choose to avoid baptism. I already touched on one. I don't want to go up in front of that church and get dunked under the water. Okay, it is a little bit, it's weird. It's a little strange. Can we all agree on that? A little nerve-wracking. But that's not a good reason, okay? People, maybe here's another reason. People know how sinful I am. What will they think when they see me getting baptized? Well, to that I would say, you are not unique. We're all sinful, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You are not unique in that you are a sinner. Everyone in this room is a sinner, okay? I'm scared of the water. Am I going to drown? No, I don't think so. Now, Paul Rosevear is a large man. If you all see me struggling to get him up out of the water, send help. But I'm sure he can probably hold his breath for at least 20 seconds, long enough to turn over and stand up, I would say. So if you're scared of the water, that's not a good excuse. These thoughts are all from Satan. Let's live for Jesus instead and get baptized and let all this fear go away. So the 5 points. Baptism is, let's get that slide back up there, a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Baptism is a picture of new life. Baptism is a picture of obedience, a picture of forgiveness, and a picture of our personal identification with Christ. Now, I've made this joke in here before. Sticking your head in an oven does not make you a biscuit, just like being in church does not make you a Christian. I did not make that joke up. I heard it from somebody else. Being an obedient follower of Jesus is what makes you a Christian, and the timeline of that should always look something like this. I heard the gospel message. I understood my own sinfulness. The gospel made sense to me. I've decided to submit my life to Jesus and do my best to do everything that He tells me to do. And this submission begins with baptism. A believer that is Paula's really going to like this, I think. This is a nerd out moment for you, okay? A believer that is unbaptized is a bit of an oxymoron. Does anybody know what an oxymoron is? Surely you do. I'm going to give you some examples. An oxymoron is a figure of speech that combines contradictory words with opposing meanings, like jumbo shrimp, okay? Like awfully good, grow smaller. What about an accurate estimate? That would be an oxymoron. A small crowd, or an original copy, or we use this one often, bittersweet. How can something be bitter and sweet at the same time? Is that possible? I don't know. I don't think so. It's an oxymoron. Well, an unbaptized believer is a bit of an oxymoron. It really just does not make sense. Being in this church building does not make you a Christian. Being baptized today does not make you a Christian. Your salvation and your Christianity comes by grace and grace alone. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This baptism does not save you. This baptism is a symbol of your faith. You were saved by grace, the grace of God, that He allowed you to be alive. He allowed you to be here today listening to me, which sometimes is dreadful, I'm sure. By His grace, He died on the cross so that you could choose to follow Him or not. What greater grace on earth is there? There is none. So if we are truly and genuinely saved, let's follow the biblical command of baptism, which shows Jesus and everyone watching that we are committing our lives to Jesus starting right now. And then we can join the church, that is the body of believers in Jesus. And if you're going to be a part of the body of believers in Jesus, you need to join a local church. This is your local church because you are here right now. There are other churches around. If you're just visiting, by all means, join the church that's close to you that teaches the Bible well. Let's join the church and tell our brothers and sisters around us that we are walking this life of faith alongside them, committing to Jesus and to one another. Now, like I said, Paul is going to be baptized in just a few minutes. And I welcome anybody else. If you're the re-baptism person and you think, yeah, I was baptized when I was 12, but grandma made me do it, or whoever it was, that happens. That does happen. It happens a lot, I think. I think sometimes we don't make that decision for ourselves. Here is an opportunity for you to hit a spiritual reset and say, look, I understand my sinfulness. I understand my need for a Savior. I believe in the gospel. I want everybody here to know, and everybody on the Facebook is also going to know, and whoever else you tell throughout your life as you go and make disciples, they should also know. When we are saved, and as we are saved, obedience must begin and obedience must remain until another exciting milestone of our faith, our death. Now, we don't often think about our death as exciting, but if we believe in Jesus, I'm interested in meeting him. So it is exciting. If we are genuine believers, we shouldn't fear death. We've been given eternal life. So our death is the time when our physical presence with Jesus begins. Let's start being obedient now so that we can continue being obedient until death. Now, again, I'll say it. We're going to have an invitation time. I am not going to stand there because me and Paul are going back there. And I assume Lois is going to go back there as well with some nice, freshly washed towels. And if anybody use this invitation time to think, that's me. I've been avoiding this for 5 years, 5 days, 5 weeks. Doesn't matter the amount of time. We know that believers' baptism is an obedient act of the Christian life. If you've been avoiding it for whatever reason, put that reason aside and get in that water, and as an act of your faith, as a symbol of your faith, just like this wedding ring, I hope that sticks with you. It's just a symbol. The water does not save you. It is a celebration of the forgiveness of your sins because of what Jesus did on the cross. And then from this day forward, you go on in full obedience to what God has called us to do in His Word. He lays it out for us. If we would simply just read it and pray through it and work alongside each other to be obedient to it, that's what God's called us to do with our lives. So if that's you, I'm not going to be there. James is going to play, not for 23 minutes, just for a few minutes. And then we're going to do one baptism. And I would like to speak with you before, if you're going to be baptized, we will speak here for a minute and make sure you understand what you're getting yourself into. And then you can go, and all your sins will be washed away. What about the Steve Bowling and I were talking about, oh brother, where art thou, the other day? What about that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over? You said you didn't do that. Well, I was lying. But he's forgiven me for that too. Doesn't he say that? We all need to go watch that movie probably. I'm probably not a good example. I'm hashtag me too and giving you movies to watch. But I am a sinful person. I am not perfect, and we can all clearly see that. But there is one that we can follow that is perfect, and that's Jesus. So let's follow him with our lives starting now. Heavenly Father, thank you for the celebration of baptism. Thank you for laying it out there in your word, what we should do if we believe in you. And Lord, I pray that if there are people here that have been not fully obedient in the things that you've called us to do, that they would come forward and start that full obedience right now in this moment. I pray that if there are people here that don't trust you and don't know you in full, that that would be made right today, and that they would fully believe in you and dedicate their lives to you in full faith, hope, and confidence. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.